because I knew we had limited time. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the English Srimad Bhagavatam class. So as you probably heard in the morning, the two speakers today, I speak till 7:30 or 7:35, and then Janani Prabhu. And then we go to the Hindi class where there are also two speakers, Bhakti Vikas Swami and myself. And I think in the Bengali class, how many speakers? Okay. So today is the auspicious appearance day off. Nrisingadeva. Everybody worships Nrisingadeva, isn't it? Why? Because everybody's always in difficulties. Everybody always has problems. So we're going to take a verse from the 7th canto, chapter 8, text 17. Is that the verse on the board? I told them. This verse describes the appearance of Lord Nrisingadeva. Satyam vidatam nija vritya bhashitam vyaptin cha bhute vakileshu chatmanah adarsyata tyat bhuta rupam udvahan stambe sadvayam na mrigam na manusham satyam vidatam nijabritya vashitam. We have to enjoy both days, but get the issue of Chatmana. Adarshata Tiad Buddha Rupa Mudvahan. Stambe Sadbayam Nam Rigam Namanusham. Satyam Vidatam Nijabritya Bashitam. Vyatenja Bhuteshva Kaleshu Chatmanaha. Adarshyata Dhyat Bhuta Rupa Mudvahan. Stambe Sadvayam Nam Rigam Namanusham. Matajis, we have very limited time, therefore we are restricting the number of devotees who can chant the shloka. If we only have 40 minutes. Satyam, true. Vidatam, to prove. Nijabritya bhashitam. The words of his own servant Prahlad Maharaj. Vyaptem, the pervasion, cha, and bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements, akileshu, all, cha, also, atmanaha, of himself, adarshyata, was seen, ati, very, adbhuta, wonderful, rupa, form, udvan, taking, stambe, in the pillar, sabhayam, within the assembly, na, not, mrigam, an animal, na, not, manusham, a human being. So we selected this verse for discussion today because this verse in the Bhagavatam actually describes the appearance of the Lord as Narasimhadeva. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in a wonderful form in the assembly hall, purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vinihaya. Sorry. Vinihaya Kashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes. My Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statements of Prahlad Maharaj were unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that His devotee, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya Parijanahi Name Bhakta Panishadi. Prahlad Maharaj's demonic father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged His devotee, saying in effect, don't worry, I'm present here. By manifesting His form in Narasimhadeva, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Sharakya Chakshuran Meditanyena Tasma Shri Chaitanya Manovesta Tama Swayam Rupa Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitana Shri Advaita Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Satyam vidatam nija vritya vasitam, yaktam ja bhuteshu kileshu chatmana, adashatat yad bhuta rupa madvahan, sambhe sabhayam namrigam namanusha. So this verse describes the appearance of the Lord as Narasimhadev. One of the Lord's various names is Achintya. What does Achintya mean? Inconceivable. So the Lord is inconceivable. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. He can pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. He can appear in a fish form, half man, half lion. In the early days of our movement, we had a court case in America, and the prosecution was trying to prove this is a concoction's path. So they brought a picture of Narasimhadev in the courtroom and said, "My Lord, this is their God, half man, half lion." So most people don't realize God is inconceivable. So the story and the pastime that led to the Lord's appearance as Narasimhadev is very nicely described in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. In the seventh canto, there are 10 chapters that describe this pastime of the appearance of the Lord to protect his devotee Prahlad. And there is discussion on this topic also in the third canto that describes the journey of the Kumaras to the Vaikuntha planets. The four Kumaras were the sons of Brahma. They were called Kumaras because by their mystic power they were able to control their body from growing. Their father had desired that they get married to expand their progeny, but they were determined to remain brahmacharis. So they were able to control the growth of their body. And a young child naturally doesn't manifest the symptoms of sense enjoyment. So the Kumaras had entered the Vaikuntha planets, and as soon as they entered the Vaikuntha planets, they experienced great ecstasy and happiness and bliss. And the desire was to ultimately have an audience with the Lord. And in order to get an audience with the Lord, they had to pass through many gates. Like if you ever go to see the President of India, we've been several times. By the time you get to meet him, you have to pass through 8 or 9 gates, and finally you go and meet him. The building was so designed. Anyway, the Kumaras had gone through the first 6 gates. And the 7th gate, the doorkeepers, like you see in most Indian temples, they have Jai Vijay at the entrance. They said, "Oh, you naked children, you can't go in." Just like when we have our lectures here, if children are making noise, you tell them to go out and play. Only the disciplined kids can sit in the class. So Jai Vijay, the doorkeepers, didn't consider it appropriate that these naked children could come in. So they stopped the Kumaras from entering into the seventh gate, penetrating to the seventh gate. The Kumaras were upset. They were experiencing such great ecstasy that they said, "You are unqualified to stay here. How can you stop us from experiencing the transcendental pleasure that we are experiencing?" And as a result, the Kumaras proceeded to curse the doorkeepers. If the Lord wanted, the curse could have been withdrawn. The doorkeepers did not get alarmed when they heard that they were going to get cursed. Parikshit Maharaj. He was cursed to die. He didn't panic. If you go to a doctor and the doctor says, ah, you have cancer, you want to pass away in a few days. We panic and everyone panics. But Parikshit Maharaj instead chose a very royal way, exemplary path, how to leave the body. So the Jai Vijay, the two doorkeepers, they didn't mind getting cursed. But they had only one desire. What is that desire? That they may be able to constantly remember the Lord. This was their desire. Anyone who remembers the pastimes of the Lord progresses spiritually, just like fire. Fire, anyone touches it, he gets his hands burnt. So remembrance of the pastimes of the Lord is so important. It doesn't matter in what mood you meditate. Meditate as an enemy, as a devotee, as a lover, as a son, you benefit. So Jai Vijay said, okay, if you want to curse us, fine, but put us in a position that we can always remember the Lord. And that should be our desire. In the Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami, there's so many rules and regulations. Do's and don'ts of ISKCON, devotee. But in the end it is said that the purpose of all these rules and regulations is to bring us to the point that we always remember Krishna. Never? So on this auspicious day, this would be a good resolution to make, that I will mold my life in such a way that I can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So Jai Vijay agreed to accept the curse. They didn't argue or try to counteract it. And their only desire was put us in a position where we could remember the Lord. While the dialogue was going on between the Kumaras and the doorkeepers, the Lord heard the entire dialogue. Just like you were talking over here and outside someone speaking loudly, you go out to see what's happening. So the Lord came to see what was happening. And when the Kumaras saw how intimately connected the doorkeepers were to the Lord, they realized, or at least they felt, we made a mistake. We should not have cursed these two doorkeepers. They are so intimate to the Lord. And maybe we should withdraw our curse. But the Lord said, now it's my desire that he curse them. Why? The Lord was planning on appearing on the planet. And he wanted his own devotees to play the role of demons to make his pastimes more relishable. This doesn't mean that now we start cursing each other and say, this is the Lord's desire that I curse you. No. So the Lord said, it is my desire that he curse them. And Jai Vijay became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord who appeared in Varaha form. And this greatly angered Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were the sons of Diti and Kashyapa. There's a certain science to procreation. Like in our books we talk about Garbhadhan Sanskar. But they were conceived at a time which wasn't very auspicious. And as a result, they grew up with this demonic mentality. Hiranyakashipu was very angry because Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord appeared as a born incarnation. So as we said earlier, the Lord is a chintya. He can appear as a fish, as a boar, as a half lion. He can take one footstep, cover the old earth planet. With one footstep, you can cover everything from the earth to the sky. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. That is the realization of a devotee on the path of bhakti yoga. Sri Hyanakashipu's sister-in-law and mother were lamenting, "Oh, our son or my husband got killed." So Hyanakashipu at that time, he was a pandit. He appeared on the sea, he went over there, and he tried to console his mother and his sister-in-law and his nephews. Hyanakashipu knows the philosophy inside out. If you read in the seventh canto, you see how strongly he preaches. He explained to his mother and sister-in-law, just like when we are traveling, we come together for some time and then we get separated again. So he said, that's how we all come together for some time and then we get separated again. So what's there to lament? After all, the soul doesn't die. It's only the body that is perishable. And he was preaching this philosophy. And he gave the example of a king, Suyojana, who died in the battle. His wives were so attached to the body of their husband that they would not let the body go for funeral. They were just crying loudly, hoping that their husband would come back to life. Till Yamraj heard their cries, and Yamraj came down to this earthly planet as a young boy, walked into the assembly and preached to them. He said, it appears while you're crying, you're not going to bring your dead husband back to life. And Yamraj gave an example of a cruel hunter who used to attract birds by throwing food to them. And when these birds would come to eat the fruits, he would shoot them. So there was husband, wife and kids, and the hunter threw some food and the sheep bird, Kalinga bird, got captured by the hunter. She fell in the hunter's net. The husband was saying, now my better half is caught in a net. What am I going to do? How am I going to bring up these children? And just lamenting, he also fell in the hunter's net. So Hiranyakashipu gave this example, Yamraj gave this example to show how ultimately we're all going to get captured by the process of death. There's no need to lament. Just like the Bhagavad Gita says, the wise man doesn't lament for the living or the dead. So Hiranyakashipu knew the philosophy very well. So Hiranyakashipu's ultimate aim was to become, what was his ultimate aim? To become deathless. And he was performing very great austerities on a hill known as, what was it known as? Mandara Hill. He was performing very great austerities. Do any of you do yoga? Yeah? Okay. Ramdev is supposed to be very famous in yoga. How long can the best yoga performer stand on his toes. 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, anything better. But Hiranyakashipu, when he was performing his austerities, he stood on his toes with his hands raised towards the sky. 400 celestial years. 100 celestial years is equal to thousands of years by today's calculation. Very soon, on the 16th of June, you're going to celebrate Nirjal Ekadasi. How many of you are planning on really observing Nirjal Ekadasi, no water? Okay, that's all. Okay. In Russia, it's almost 99%. Okay, anyway, you do Nirjal Ekadasi for one day, no water, big achievement. But Hiranyakashipu was so austere. He stood on his toes with his hands raised toward the sky. For 100 celestial years, 6 months of our early planet is equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planets. So, and then, not only did he stand on his toes with his hands raised towards the sky, he did not take a drop of water. You won't take a drop of water for one day in Nirjal Ekadasi, and you'll think it's a big achievement. But the Hiranyakashipu did not take a drop of water for 100 celestial years. For thousands of years, he didn't take a drop of water. He was so austere. And his whole body had become an anthill. An anthill is a hill where you have thousands of ants going up and down. You know, you have sometimes an ant crawls into our body and you feel so irritated, am I right? We can't even tolerate one ant. We usually get garlands, and sometimes we get garlands and ants in them. So the moment the ant trickles into your hair, you feel irritated. But Hiranyakashipu, he had thousands and thousands of ants going up and down his body. All his flesh was eaten by the ants, and he did not feel irritated at all. Can you match that performance? Letting thousands of ants crawl in your body. Stand with the toes, hands raised towards the sky, not a drop of water. He was performing all these austerities. Why? And fire emanating from his head. The whole planet was full of smoke. He was so powerful. And he had a certain desire. And what was that desire? To become deathless. So the demigods were very unhappy. They could not tolerate all this. The whole planet was full of smoke, just like there's fire, if there's fire nearby and there's smoke in the room, you feel suffocated, isn't it? You want to run away from that location. So the demigods came to Brahma and said, do you know the austerity that Hiranyakashipu is performing? Why are they performing? He wants to occupy your position. It's impossible for us to stay in our planet. There's so much disturbance. Please come and stop this. Brahma said, okay. Brahma proceeded with the demigods to finding Radha Guru. They didn't even know where he's performing his austerities. They were searching for Hiranyakashipu. And then they finally, they were standing right next to where Hiranyakashipu was. And they could not identify because they saw so many ants going up and down, up and down, up and down. And they thought that they're standing next to an anthill. Till they discovered, oh, this is Hiranyakashipu. His whole body is eating my ants. Then Brahma, what did he do? From his kamandalu, he sprinkled the water on Hiranyakashipu's body. And as a result, Hiranyakashipu became a young man. Became a rejuvenated young man. And the limbs of his body were so strong that each limb could easily tolerate a thunderbolt. Even the thunderbolt could not penetrate through each limb. He became so strong, handsome, young man. So Brahma said, why are you performing all these austerities? He explained his desire to have a benediction that he may not die. And Brahma said, how can I give you that benediction? Because ultimately, even I have to die. How can I give you that benediction? And so what did Hiranyakashipu do? He gave up. Okay, please don't give me benediction. Now, he thought of various plans by which he may get the assurance that nothing would happen to him. So he asked for different benedictions. What are some of the benedictions he asked for? I may not be killed in the sky, water, land. I may not be killed inside and outside. I may not be killed by any weapon, no missiles, or any animal. I may not be killed either in the day or the night. So, why did he mention animal? Because his brother was killed by an animal, but Lord appeared as an animal. So he didn't want to take chances. So he conceived of every possible means by which a person could die. And he got the assurance from Brahma. Having obtained all these assurances, Hiranyakashipu thought, now I have achieved the same goal that I was hoping to achieve by a direct benediction. And Hiranyakashipu began to rule over the planets, where he was cruel. He stopped all the sacrifices and so on. When Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities, Prahlad was in his mother's womb, and the mother's name was Kayadu. Prahlad had three brothers. Hiranyakashipu had four sons, and the most famous of the four sons is? We should not forget that Prahlad is also one of the Mahajan, Sambhu Narada Sambhu, Komara Kapila Manu, Prahlado Janaka Bhismo, Malirbhai Yajakimara. 12 Mahajans are identified in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of them is the sage Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad was in his mother's womb at that time, and the demigods were thinking, Hiranyakashipu has made our life so unbearable. And if another son is born, like in English they say, like father, like son. You heard that before? Doesn't always happen, but it does. So they were concerned, the demigods headed by Indra, that a son in the womb of Kayadhu may not become another demon. And they were dragging Prahlad's mother till Narada Muni appeared on the scene. Narada Muni has single-pointed objective to deliver Narayan. And being one of the Mahajans, Narada Muni also is a source of spiritual authority. Narada Muni appeared on the scene and said, "What are you doing? You're dragging an innocent pregnant lady. This is not proper behavior." And the demigods, headed by Indra, said, "Don't you know who she is? She's a notorious Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. And child in her womb is another demon. He's going to make our living unbearable, like father, like son." But Narada Muni assured the parents that he deemed demigods, the child in the womb is not a demon but a great devotee. And based on the assurance of Narada Muni, the demigods released the Prahlad's mother, who was given shelter in Narada Muni's ashram. And Narada Muni gave her instructions on the path of Bhagavad Dharma, which later on she forgot, but Prahlad retained. So Prahlad was self-realized from his birth. You can't glorify Lord Narasingadev without discussing about his beloved devotee, Prahlad. For the very reason the Lord appeared as Narasingadev was to protect his beloved devotee. Again and again, in the scriptures, the Lord has pointed out that he protects his devotees. What did Krishna tell Arjuna? "You declare to the world what? Kaunte Pradjani Name Bhakta Pandashri." Krishna could have told directly, "My devotee never perishes, don't worry." But he instead chose a devotee. "You tell the world, my devotee will never perish." Just like in the modern day advertising industry, they get all these movie stars, sports stars, to endorse a product. They say, "Buy this shaving cream, it's very good." They get paid $1 million for saying that. And people buy it. So they probably got this idea from Krishna telling Arjuna, "You declare to the world." Because the manufacturer himself can say, "My shaving cream is the best." But he gets a movie star or a sports star to say, "No, you say it's the best." So Krishna could have directly said, when he told Arjuna, no, you say that my devotee will never perish. So Prahlad had to go through severe turbulences. It's not uncommon for devotees of the Lord to face challenges. Of course, right now we're sitting in India, where at least so far you can preach the Vedic Dharma quite openly. But there are many parts of the world we can't do that. There are many parts of the world where devotees have to go underground. Devotees have to go in suits. Devotees have to risk their lives to say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotees have done that. And that's why the Krishna consciousness movement today is virtually in every corner of the globe due to the sacrifice made by followers of Prabhupada. They've risked their lives and gone in atmospheres where Krishna was totally unknown and where it was a challenge to establish Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad had to preach under very difficult circumstances. His father was opposed to any glorification of Vishnu at all. His father would repeatedly tell him, "Where are you getting this attraction for Vishnu?" His father would chastise Prahlad's teachers, whose names were Sandanamarga, the sons of Shukracharya. Shukra means seamen, the two categories of spiritual masters. One who descends, one who becomes a guru by birth, the other is by qualification. Our Siddhanta is qualification, guna. So Prahlad had to go through very severe challenges, far more severe than any of us had to go through in any part of the world. Prahlad's father, when he saw that Prahlad's not stopping his dedication to Vishnu, he's not giving it up. He warned him many times, Sandanamarga. They also warned Prahlad. Prahlad's father would chastise his teachers. He would say, "You don't realize the Vaishnavas are coming in disguise and brainwashing my son, and you're not noticing it." And Sandanamarga would say, "Sir, we are Brahmins. Don't chastise us like this. We ourselves are bewildered. We don't know how your son gets all this knowledge. We are bewildered ourselves. We haven't seen any Vaishnavas coming in disguise. We have very tight security around him. We are also bewildered." But he said, "Don't worry, we'll brainwash him. Nothing to worry." So they went through an intensive brainwashing program. You know what's brainwashing? In the early days of our movement in the Western countries, we were accused, "The Hare Krishna are brainwashing." The Prabhupada gave a story. He said, there was once a deaf man who was calling his wife. The deaf man said, "Wife, come here." The wife was cooking in the kitchen and she said, "I'm coming, I'm cooking right now." And the husband waited, then he got impatient. "Wife, come here." She said, "I'm coming." Finally got impatient and said, "Are you deaf, you can't hear? I'm calling you for such a long time." So Prabhupada gave this example to show. He was deaf. He was addressing his wife, "Are you deaf?" So we are all brainwashed by the materialistic society, especially in Kali Yuga. The advertising industry is so big. What is the advertising industry's main agenda? Brainwash you. Isn't it? They try to brainwash you. Buy this product, this will satisfy you and make you happy. And the next moment, you see one commercial, "Try this product." And the next minute, you see another commercial, "Try this product." Isn't it? So, we don't brainwash, we just undo the brainwashing. So, Prahlad had to go through a lot of these challenges. But he still would not stop his dedication. Prahlad. So Prahlad had to experience severe types of punishment. He was administered poison. Prahlad took the poison and offered it as prasad to Krishna. And Krishna took the prasad poison. He was thrown from mountain tops. Any of you had that experience? Any of you were thrown over mountain top? He had elephants walk over him. Any of you had that experience? We have two elephants here, two elephants. You can ask them to walk over you. He was thrown in fire, burning fire. He was thrown in boiling oil. He had poisonous snakes surrounding him. But still Prahlad was fearless. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada was given the name Abhaycharan. Fearless. So Prahlad in every situation was protected by the Lord. So Prahlad's father asked him, "Where are you getting all your strength from? I have tried to kill you. I've had the teachers chastise you. But still, you're fearless. Nothing's happening to you. How is it? How is that possible? Where are you getting all your strength from?" And Prahlad said, "I'm getting my strength from the same source that you're getting your strength. God is the source of intelligence for the devotees and the non-devotees. So I'm getting my strength from the same place. Where is your God?" He said, "Everywhere. God's everywhere." And then, "Is he in the ceiling? Is he in this pillar?" And Prahlad said, "Yes, he's everywhere." So when he heard that the Lord was in the pillar, he took his sword out, thinking that now I have captured the Lord. He's in the pillar. And he took his sword and hit the pillar. And out of the pillar emerged the form of the Singhadev. We have limited time, so we have skipped over a lot. So when he first appeared as the Singhadev, the sound was so intense that even Lord Brahma, when he heard the war sound, he thought the world was cracking. Just like sometimes, I believe a few days ago, you had a hurricane or a windy monsoon here. So now in the rainy season, you have lightning, thundering and so on. So when the demigods heard this sound, it was so loud, they thought the world was cracking. And when Hiranyakashipu saw this form of Narsingadev, for a minute he was bewildered. "This form? I've never seen. Half man, half lion. How is this possible?" But then he recognized, yes, this must be another trick of Vishnu. Vishnu thinks he can fight with me? Okay, we are ready for a fight. He took out his sword and attacked the Lord. The Lord attacked him. The Lord then had him by the grip. But then he let him run away. Just like Garuda captures a snake and then leaves it. And when the Lord let him go away, the demigods who were watching the encounter said, Oh, alas, alas, Hiranyakashipu has escaped, my God. Our living is going to be terrible. Just like in the movies, you see this hero fighting with a villain. Sometimes it appears that the hero is about to lose the battle, isn't it? And people panic. And in the end, the hero ends up winning the battle, isn't it? So they got this idea probably from this passion of the Lord. Because in the fight that took place between Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadeva, at times it appeared as if Hiranyakashipu was winning. Till finally, the Lord placed him on his chest, placed him on his lap, and with his nails bifurcated Hiranyakashipu's body. With his nails. Hiranyakashipu had obtained various assurances from the Lord. But the Lord is so kind, he keeps the promises of his devotees intact. And the Lord knew the assurances given by Brahma. So keeping all of Brahma's assurances intact, the Lord killed this powerful demon, Hiranyakashipu. He killed him at what time? Twilight, evening, when it's neither day or night. He killed him right at the entrance. Because Hiranyakashipu had obtained an assurance that won't be killed either in the day or in the night, either inside or outside. He killed him on his lap. Just honoring Brahma's assurance, he will not be killed in the sky or the earth or water. He killed him by his nails. He had become so powerful, Hiranyakashipu, that each limb of his could tolerate a thunderbolt. But the Lord just killed him with his nails without using any weapons at all. So keeping all of Brahma's promises intact, the Lord, what did he do? He killed Hiranyakashipu. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Los Angeles on this occasion. The occasion of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And Prabhupada, at the end of his lecture, said, jokingly, after killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord told Brahma, don't give such assurances in future. You made my job very hard. Because the Lord had to keep all of Brahma's assurances and still kill. So this is the inconceivable nature of the Lord. And the Lord always honors and protects his devotees. After this benediction, after Hiranyakashipu's being killed, the Lord was so angry that no one was ready to go next to him. The demigods were not ready. Lakshmiji wasn't ready. She had never seen such a fierce form, fearful form of Nrisimhadeva. Then in the end, the Brahma told Prahlad, you go and pacify the Lord. And Prahlad went and instantly pacified the Lord. And then the Lord asked Prahlad, Prahlad, because of me, you had to go through so many inconveniences. Ask me for any benediction that you want. Any benediction that you want. And Prahlad said, my dear Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, just give me the benediction that I may always be with devotees, engaged in pure devotional service, and please may not have any lusty desires in my heart. Please give me the benediction that I may have no lusty desires in the heart. And Prahlad said, a servant who surrenders to a master expecting some material benefit, and a master who acknowledges a servant just to get some material benefit, is not a true master, not a true servant. He's a, what's he, what did he say? He's a businessman. So I don't want any benediction from you. If you want to give me a benediction, just give me a benediction, then I can engage in pure devotional service in the association of devotees. That should be our mood, to just aspire for pure devotional service. Not that I'm going to serve the Lord, but I want this concession. The more concessions you take, the less benefit you get by rendering service. If you render service in the mood of unmotivation, you get pure love of God. So Prahlad said, my dear Lord, my father was a great demon. He gave me a lot of trouble. He fought with you. But still, because he was my father, please, if you desire, he may be liberated. And what did Lord Narasimhadev say? You don't have to ask that. He's already liberated. Of course, he was killed by the Lord. That is no small achievement. But also, he was the father of a great devotee, Prahlad. And Prabhupada explains, if any family, someone becomes a pure devotee, he liberates up to 21 generations of his ancestors. So, today is the auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev. In the Bhagavatam it is said that anybody who meditates on this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Narasimhadev will become free of material attraction. So how many of you want to become free of material attraction? All of you. Today everyone is in the mood of becoming a pure devotee. Okay. So, Bhagavatam says, anyone who hears, meditates, talks about this pastime of the Lord will become bereft of material desires. So we should, on this auspicious day, pray to Lord Narasimhadev that please may all our material desires get vanquished. What did Prahlad say? My dear Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, please give me this benediction that all my material desires may be vanquished. So how many of you have that desire? Okay. So pray to the Lord that all our material desires may get vanquished and we may engage in pure devotional service, birth after birth. So here in Mayapur you have this very wonderful deity of Lord Narasimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj being looked after very well by Jinnaniwas Prabhu and his team. And I think, is Jinnaniwas here? Okay. I'm making plans for you. So the deities have been looked after so nicely. So pray to Lord Narasimhadev to be blessed with pure devotional service. There's so many wonderful stories of Prahlad, but there's no time. And Prahlad's mood wants to preach. He went through all these difficulties, but his only desire was to preach. Prahlad said, my dear Lord, I'm not worried about my own liberation, but I'm worried about those who are trying to convert distress to happiness. So we should cultivate the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, become fearless in our preaching, take to the path of pure devotional service, and only pray, please vanquish all my material desires. And that means, please bless me so I can do pure devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ki, Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki, Lord Narasimhadev ki, Gaur Premananda. Hare Krishna. So, Jinnaniwas Prabhu is going to speak now. There were two speakers. I have to go to the Hindi class. Many questions, all of you, please sit down and keep hearing.